It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Good to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Governor Nathan Deal recently signed a signature education bill into law. He'd been working at passing an education reform bill for several years. This one is called the First Priority Act. It makes it easier for the state to help low-performing schools, and the idea is to help them improve over time. Well, tonight, WABE is hosting a town hall to talk about how the new law would work. It starts at 7 this evening at the Southwest Arts Center. And joining us now, tonight's moderator, WABE's education reporter, Martha Dalton. Martha, thanks for joining us in the morning and welcome.
Oh, thanks, Dennis. Good morning.
Okay, let's start with the new state law. This is the replacement for the governor's original plan that went before the voters and failed a year or two ago, and it would have let the state actually take over some schools. This legislation doesn't quite do that, does it?
No, that's right. The voters rejected Governor Deal's Opportunity School District plan, and that, as you said, would have let the state essentially run schools that it considered failing. Now, that measure needed voter approval because it would have changed the state constitution. This plan, the First Priority Act, doesn't do that.
So that's why it didn't go before the voters this time. It just had to pass the legislature. No constitutional change, and that's why.
Correct. And that's why people may be wondering, you know, well, why didn't I get a vote on this? And that's why. It didn't need one, quite honestly. But this bill does provide for hiring staff specifically trained in turning schools around. So it would hire a chief turnaround officer and turnaround coaches. These would be state officials who would work with schools and their communities to come up with a plan to help those schools improve.
So the state is not running the school, so it doesn't go as far as the governor's original plan. So the idea is just to come in and help the schools somehow, just be there for them?
Well, right. And I think to provide guidance, you know, these are all people who are supposed to have expertise in school turnaround. So they're supposed to be able to provide some guidance in how best to implement a plan for a particular school. And within the legislation, there are also plans to do assessments of schools. So the coaches would come in and, you know, they would screen kids, for example, for vision, hearing, any other issues, you know.
Learning disability, for instance.
Exactly. So given all that information and data that they would collect, then the coaches and the turnaround officer would provide advice for the school and would work with the schools to help sort of come up with a plan.
Now, the governor's original plan, because it involved the takeover of some schools, had a really obvious stick to it in addition to the help. Does this have a stick to go with it? In other words, what happens if things don't turn around, if you will?
Right. That's a great question. And there is a little bit of flexibility in the legislation, but here's how it would basically work. If a school were, let's say, somewhat reluctant to implement the state's plan or was reluctant to have sort of state intervention, you know, all of Georgia districts now have signed flexibility waivers with the state or have signed essentially contracts with the state. And if a school were reluctant to implement the state's plan, they would lose their flexibility waiver. That district would be at risk for losing its flexibility waiver. So there is a stick to this as well. You know, you have to be kind of, there has to be buy-in from these schools in order to make it work.
Any idea how they measure progress with this? Because if you're helping a school turn around, you've got to have some way to decide when it's actually making progress.
Right. And so right now, the way the legislation is drafted, that would be progress as determined by the state's report card for schools. And that's also the way that schools are identified. Three consecutive years of low performance would put the schools on a so-called failing schools list. So right now, that's the metric that the state is using. Now, that could change. There is some flexibility within the law that could change.
And would this apply to every school that makes that list? I mean, going back to the governor's original plan, there were a lot fewer schools that could be taken over under that proposed legislation than there were schools in trouble. Does this one cover everybody who might be in trouble?
Great question. This doesn't set a certain number of schools, but it does start with the lowest 5%. So on this list of low-performing schools, it starts with the lowest 5% of those schools. So that's how they're determining which schools are on the list this time around. Like you said before, they had capped a certain number in the original plan. This does it a little bit differently.
And does it say how schools are supposed to work with the turnaround coaches?
in terms of resources they're supposed to provide? Well, the idea is for schools to sort of fund these plans. Now, if they can't do that, there is sort of a safety net written in. You know, if they can prove hardship, then the state would step in and help them financially.
Because that was one of the big questions that was raised about it during the session is, how are we going to pay for this?
Right. That was raised over and over again. And the answer sort of kept changing during the legislative session as different bills were tried and different funding sources were tried and proposed. But Governor Deal was able to get more than a little over $2 million in the upcoming budget for school turnaround specifically.
So these are the kinds of questions I'm assuming that a lot of folks who are coming to tonight's event might have. And you're moderating this, but you're going to have some pretty interesting folks on this panel.
Agreed. We have a great panel lined up, so I hope everyone who wants to come will be able to. We have State Representative Valencia Stovall. She's a Democrat from Forest Park and a member of the House Education Committee. She has a lot of insight into this bill. Leslie Hazel Bussey is the Deputy Director of the Georgia Leadership Institute for School Improvement, called GLISI for short, much easier to say than that. And school improvement, obviously, is their focus. So she knows what works and what doesn't when it comes to that issue. Leah Austin is the Vice President of Programs for the Southern Education Foundation. This is an organization that focuses on educational equity in the South. And, of course, a lot of schools that may be affected by this bill will be in low-income areas, so she'll have specific insight into that. And Michael O'Sullivan is the executive director of Georgia CAN. That stands for the Campaign for Achievement Now. It's a nonprofit that's focused on education policy. So this should be a really lively discussion with lots of good, valuable information.
As often happens when schools are in the mix.
Agreed. Yes. Yes, for sure.
That's tonight at 7 p.m. at the Southwest Arts Center, and you can find out more information about the event by going to our website, wabe.org/community. Martha Dalton is WABE's education reporter. Martha, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dennis.